A few things going on. Miami Heat are playing pretty decent.
They're not doing bad. They're not quite hitting on all cylinders, but they're doing okay.
The fact that they won a game the other night without Dwayne Wade too just kills me. I mean, it's
they
like
won two the last.
Oh, he didn't play last night either. Okay, yeah. So they're gonna have a hard time winning at San Antonio without him, I assume. But who knows at this point?
Where is that game?
That's at there. It's at San Antonio. So they got at Chicago Wednesday, at New Orleans Friday, at San Antonio on Sunday. So a tough road stretch. Then they come back home to play New York. So we got a rough four-game stretch going here. Although, certainly New Orleans is—they don't even know if they're Pelicans or Hornets.
Pelican brief.
Yeah, well, it's been they've won very briefly this year. So
beat Denver last night.
Did they?
They snapped Denver's
their streak. I didn't see that. Okay. Yeah. So how far can they go? What do you? I guess it's anybody's guess. I mean, on any given night, they could lose. But
I think Chicago will be a test tonight. Or tomorrow night.
Tomorrow
maybe.
Night.
And certainly San Antonio. But, I mean, I think what you're getting at now is that they're going to start getting a little more revved up because they can see the streak. You know, you can – it's tangible now. When you're at 20, you know, winning 20 is amazing, but mm-hmm. you're looking at 33 and you're going, it's a long way away. And now the more they win, the closer they get, the more revved up they'll get. But, you know – there's a lot of teams that want to break it for them.
You think? Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. When you're at that level and you're playing for championships, do you even care that much? And do you think the other teams care about breaking it that much?
I think the closer you get to it, the more you care. I mean, I think they're getting to the point now where it's, you know, if they go another week and a half and don't lose, they're gonna have the streak. So you're close enough now to where you can kind of see it and feel it, and definitely other teams want to be the ones. I mean, they're gonna be. You already get their attention because you're the Miami Heat and you're the world champions and it's the biggest game on the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's when they, you know, they're like when I was with the Bulls. I mean, it's they don't sell out all year, but
yeah.
when you go there, it's mayhem. So it's already big, and now it's just a little bigger.
The thing that got me the other day is, and I don't know what the longest streak was. I never did go back and look at it, but the year that the Bulls won
33 by the Lakers.
But I'm saying as far as the Bulls go, though, the year they won 72, I don't know what their longest streak was.
That's a good question.
I mean, that's what got me. I'm like, well, surely the Bulls were in the mix, and they weren't even in the top three.
No, I agree.
Which was weird. So
yeah.
I don't know what they must have a bunch of 20 game winning streaks.
This streak is it's amazing. I mean, you this might be a once in a lifetime.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not going to see a lot of this.
Well, it hadn't happened since the 70s, I guess. So it's understandable if it doesn't happen again.
Yeah. So I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, a lot of teams have played well over time, but to do this kind of thing, what do you? I mean, other than the fact the obvious, I mean, they've got the best players.
They got the baddest dude in the world,
yeah,
by far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the second player in the NBA. Durant and all of them, they can't touch him. I mean, Kevin Durant's a bad dude, man.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, but he's not close to
LeBron.
To LeBron,
okay.
I mean, in my opinion, I mean,
I don't think you get too much argument at this point the way he's playing. It's freakish.
And then you add Wade and Bosh, and now you got all these 3-point shooters who are making threes.
Yeah.
You know, and
I don't know how many minutes he played last night, but my only thing is, does fatigue ever step in? I mean, does anybody go, man, we're just tired tonight? I mean, do they have an off night?
Well, that's what's so amazing.
They're supposed to.
That's what's amazing. I mean, you know, D Wade hadn't played the last two nights,
mm-hmm.
you know, and other guys have missed. I mean, that's, you know, that was the thing that was so great about Jordan is that, you know, he did not miss games. I mean, he played 35, 40 minutes, guard the toughest guy, take all the shots, have basically all the responsibility on him, and he would play every night.
What do you feel like? What's a professional athlete feel like at his age? I mean, like when you were in your first 5 years in the league, what do you feel like the day after a game?
Well, I mean, you ache. You have ache. I mean, sometimes it's kind of like having the flu. You're just tired and achy.
Like after, you never just woke up and felt okay the next day?
No. It took a while.
What do you think? He's like that too? I mean, he's not inside banging around like you did. But.
Well, I mean, it's different now too. I mean, you know, he's got probably gets a massage. I mean, they got all kinds of people now, nutritionists. And I mean, back then, you know, you walked in the locker room and drank a bottle of water, and there was beer over there, and you'd have a beer and you'd
grab a cheeseburger.
Go in the car and go home. Now you got, you know, the nutritionist, the masseuse, the guys get stretched afterwards. They go in a hot tub or a cold plunge. They got all these all these things that really, really, really help you recover much better. The recovery process is
okay.
is so much better than it used to be.
Yeah, because we all just assume that everybody's beat down after a game, but I wonder if it's the same, if it's actually that way
and
or that's
the travel,
just
you know, the yeah. travel's easier. I mean, you're not getting up at 5 and then sitting waiting for a plane in an airport chair for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, there's a lot of different.
Having played in a handful of cities before we had Joe on, I asked him in a break what the best travel situation he ever had was, and you said it was not even close.
Oh, it was my last year in the league. It was Portland Trailblazers. Paul Allen had a 757. He had two of them.
Okay.
He had one for him, and he had one for us.
Yeah. That's how you know you got way too much money.
Yeah, and it was nice. Yeah. It was like taking your living room and putting it on a 757 and taking off.
Yeah, so you could actually be comfortable as a 7-foot dude.
Had a couch in there. I mean, it was
macked out.
Oh, it was.
And you said you guys had satellite TV on there before satellite was.
Well, we had the
standard.
We had the roaming satellite where you could. Fly.
Oh, you could like go from.
Yeah, it used to be when you had satellite, you couldn't move,
mm-hmm.
and it, right then the technology was coming out, and we had it in 1999 on our plane. Watching games and stuff, it was unbelievable.
There's a guy who's most people are familiar with from his days in college, but Steph Curry is a guy who has played extremely well this year. He's shooting 45% from threes, in the top five in scoring. Would you, if you were going to start a five, is he getting to the point where he's in the conversation?
Absolutely. I mean, he's a 45, and he's a that's where somebody even told me the other day. Marshall Henderson was talking about when he got interviewed. He's like, man, I'm just trying to get paid. Well. You're talking about a low 30s percent three-point shooter
right.
in college wanting to get paid. It's Steph Curry, 45% in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference,
mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, and not to say that Marshall Henderson can't do it. I mean, who's to say? I mean, and he is an exceptional talent, but he can't touch a guy like Steph Curry. I mean, he can't. And again, you know what? That's not a knock. I mean, it's not a knock on him at this particular point. Now, maybe in 2 or 3 years with work and stuff, absolutely. But
he's a guy that appears to be an undersized two guard. He doesn't seem to have point guard skills. He's a 6'2" two guard, which it's hard for me to call a 6'2" guy short.
I will say though that he, in those 2 or 3 games in the tournament, I saw him make 2 or 3 big time passes to guys for dunks. And layups, mm-hmm. and things like that. And I think if he can evolve into that and do a little more of that as opposed to taking tough shot after tough shot, because he's getting the attention. Guys are running at him. They're double-teaming him. If he can continue to – I thought he improved his passing. The little I saw him, especially his last – I mean, he made 3 or 4 passes a game for layups that were very impressive.
I don't know how much of a chance you get to see Rodney Clark. He's another guy that is somewhat undersized. And part of the thought process in going to Butler was a chance to play point – which, again, he's from a size standpoint, fits a lot better in that position. Do you see, or what do you see, as his potential for the NBA? I mean, most people think it's fairly limited.
It's tough. It'll be tough.
Yeah.
I mean, point guards are athletic in the NBA now. They're the ones that play a lot, they're athletic, they're big, they can get into the lane, they can get into the basket, they can really create their own shot. I think Rodney has gotten much better at creating his own shot, but I don't know that he can do that night in and night out against an NBA caliber defender with the quickness and size that'll be guarding him. Now, you put him on a team where he's got some guys that are garnering attention around him to where he can have a little more freedom. The way he can shoot, he could definitely, Gennaro Pargo,
mm-hmm.
Has made a great, terrific shooter at Arkansas.
Yeah.
And he's made a great career. I think Rodney Clark could maybe do something like Gennaro Pargo did.
Yeah. One last thing, NBA, and then we got to take a final timeout. We'll try to get these calls in here. I was going to ask you about Eric Spoelstra and back to the Miami thing for a moment. What percentage credit does he get, he and his staff get, for what they've been able to do this year?
Oh, you give them a ton of credit, because if they you can't have it both ways. If they were struggling, they'd be trying to hang him from every.
There's no doubt,
So I mean, if you're gonna do that, then when they're winning, you gotta give him his props.
Okay,
so.
when you have the best player in the world and then one of the top, what's Dwayne? Is he still top 10, 15 player in the world?
Yes, yep.
Okay. How much do you weight it? I mean, how much is just the fact that you got silly talent, and how much is the fact that you're doing a good job, whether it's calling sets, defense, coaching them up, whatever it
no,
is?
No, it counts because, I mean, you got to look at the other guys he's got on the team. He's got to incorporate limited players with this great two, three guys. So there's definitely...
You've been around a situation like that before, huh?
Yeah. I was the limited guy that had to be incorporated.
Yeah. But I mean, it is somewhat similar to what happened in Chicago, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You got a great player, but he can't do it by himself.
Yeah.
So you got to incorporate the team with him. So there's definitely a lot of coaching going on.
All right, we got a few calls we'll squeeze in here coming up. Final segment coming up. Joe Klein joining us in the Fury Electric Studios. Stay tuned.